Chris Hine does great work for the Chicago Tribune, friend of the program covering the Chicago Blackhawks. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
We miss you in the summertime, Chris. Just know that.
Well, anytime you want to have me on to talk, you know, anything, Carole King, hockey, it doesn't matter. I'll come on.
Are you still going to the Olympics?
I am, yes. You know, every day it seems like that situation gets a little worse and worse. And, you know, but I'm still going. I still got my plane ticket. I still got my hotel. Still got my credential. I'm still going. You know, whether or not other people are going remains to be seen, but I'm going.
Well, I guess you got a job to do, and it's going to be interesting, though. All right, Chris, so interesting week for the Blackhawks. I think you probably expected some movement to be coming at some point. We knew the Hawks were going to be up against the cap again, but what was your reaction to them finding a way to get out of Bickle's contract, but it costing them Teravainen as well?
I'm not surprised that they traded Bickle this offseason. I think, you know, this past year they were able to get by with him still on the roster and still carrying that cap hit. But, you know, with this year, with Artemi Panarin getting $2.5 million or so in bonuses and Andrew Shaw needing to be re-signed, I'm not surprised that they moved on from Bickle this offseason. What I was surprised at was that it cost them Teravainen in the process. I thought they might be able to get away with giving up prospects or, you know, prospect in a draft pick or whatever the cost would have been. But I am surprised that Teravainen was ultimately the price that they chose to pay to unload Brian Bickle.
Chris, do you think it's fair to say that Joel Quenneville felt that Teravainen may turn out to be, you know, a decent level player, but he doesn't see superstarness for him, and henceforth, hey, yes, please, we're not going to use him in any defined role, and if you can move him and clear up cap space for Andrew Shaw, that would be ideal. I mean, is this more of a cue move than a stand move?
I'm not sure. You know, I've heard that thrown around a lot the last couple of days that Q wanted Shaw over Teravainen, and maybe there probably is truth to that. However, I don't think Quenneville was willing to give up on Teravainen. I think he valued Teravainen and the versatility that he brought to the team. You know, he played all around. You know, the top lines, the bottom lines. He was a left wing. He was a right wing. He was a center. You know, and the organization last March, you know, they made some of those trades to get like Dale Weiss and Tomas Fleischmann. They made those trades so that they could have people to play with Teuvo Teravainen on a third line. That was the reason why they made some of those trades. So I'm not completely sold that this was a Joel Quenneville power play, so to speak. I really think the organization thought highly of Teuvo, but what I do think played into their decision was the fact that this is the last year of his first contract. He's due for a significant raise after this year, but the Hawks also have to sign Panarin long-term, and they're going to have to pay him a lot of money. And I think what the Hawks are saying here is that they're prioritizing signing Panarin over Teravainen because Panarin is the kind of scorer that you don't see come along every day in the NHL. You know, Teravainen has that potential to be a scorer, but Panarin, as you showed last year, is kind of already there in terms of being able to score a significant number of goals and assists on an NHL team.
Well, and it's hard to fault that logic. I mean, Panarin has been phenomenal so far. Look, this wouldn't be the first time that the Hawks have to trade away a player and watch them develop and look pretty decent on another roster. This is the NHL, and this is the way that they do things with their salary cap to try to keep parity in the league. I imagine that the Blackhawks have to be frustrated at times with the rules, but the rules are the rules. Do you think, Chris, that this is a good thing for hockey?
I do. You know, I think it keeps other teams competitive, and especially in a league where, you know, if you have smaller market hockey towns like a Raleigh, North Carolina, who, you know, they need the team to be good if they're going to survive. You know, hockey is unlike maybe the other pro sports in that way, where you kind of need the small market teams to be good to drum up interest in the community. Otherwise, people aren't going to show up. So So I do think it's a good thing. I like the hard salary cap. I like that there are, it's not like the NBA where there are workarounds and exceptions and mid-level exceptions and, you know, what have you. I do think it's a good thing. I'm a fan of parity. I know that, you know, we're in Chicago and everybody would have liked to have kept, you know, some of these cup teams together, but I think overall it is good for the league.
So, okay, they've lost Tavo, they've lost Nick Leddy, they've lost Brandon Saad, Mark Dano. They win in the cup next year there, Chris? That's what I'm getting to here. I mean, it hasn't mattered in the past. I mean, I guess maybe a better question is, I mean, how good do you think the Tavo is going to go on to be? He played one full season with the Blackhawks, and he's going to get he's going to get a huge opportunity in Carolina. I mean, they need help. So
I am more bullish on Teravainen than I think a lot of people were. I think, you know, people around here didn't see his goal production or his point production, you know, right away. But I point to the fact that it was his first NHL season. He's only 21 years old. Panarin is 24. Panarin's a little more developed, a little more seasoned. Yes, this was his first full season in the NHL too, but he is a little older, and I do think that counts for something. I think Teravainen is going to be a really good player. I could see him being a 25-30 goal scorer, being a guy that centers the top line for them. And they're a really young team out there in Carolina. So he's going to have a lot of young players to figure out who to mesh with. He's going to be given time, you know, to gel with some people. He wasn't always given the time to gel with line mates here in Chicago. So I really think he's got a lot of potential. And, you know, I think people that were disappointed in his play this year or that were calling for him to be traded at the deadline this year, I think they're a little short-sighted.
Chris Hine from Chicago Tribune joining us here for another couple minutes as we talk some off-season hockey. What's next for the Blackhawks here in the next month or so?
Well, at the draft, Andrew Shaw's agent, Pat Brisson, is going to meet with the Blackhawks, and they're going to talk about extending his contract or re-signing Andrew Shaw. So that's next on the agenda next weekend in Buffalo, so stay tuned on that front. You know, free agency starts short time after that. Look to see an extension for Artemi Panarin. I think that's high on the Blackhawks' list of priorities. And we'll see what happens with the defensive situation here. I think they would still like to get a top four defenseman somehow, some way. You know, with the cap space, we have to find out how much the cap is going to be next year. All indications seem to be that the players' union is going to impose a 5% escalator clause, so the cap should be going up, which is good news for the Blackhawks and good news for the rest of the league that's cap strapped. But I'd say watch out for the Shaw contract, Panarin extension, and what do they do to rectify their defensive woes going forward?
Yeah, that does seem like the to-do list. And it sounds like you're confident they're going to have both Andrew Shaw in the fold and Artemi Panarin long-term. Is that fair?
That's my thinking, yes. Yeah, I do think they'll find a way to get both of those guys signed to long-term deals. Now, just how long, I'm not sure, and for how much, we'll see, but I do think they're going to get both of them re-signed, yes.
We got one of your fans is dialing and wants to ask you a hockey question here, Chris. Justin, you're on 720 WGN with Chris Hine of the Chicago Tribune. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Love the show.
Thanks, Justin.
No specific question, yeah. I mean, I just wanted to call in and kind of get my two cents, you know. As far as Bowman goes and our scouting team, I said to the gentleman who took the call, you know, this has been the best we've had in the last 15, 20 years, if not longer, you know. So you definitely can't knock the moves that they're making until you kind of see the results. But as far as Teravainen, I think we I think that's a good move, you know, keeping people like trying to attempt at, you know, Andrew Shaw and Panarin and stuff like that. Your guys that are, you know, making more plays, I feel, than Teravainen. I mean, obviously you're going to have a couple different opinions here and there. But as far as like our prospects and stuff like that, I mean, we're planning ahead for championships every season for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. So,
yep. Hey, Justin, appreciate the phone call. I mean, you're saying, I think, you know, Chris, what a lot of Blackhawks fans feel, which is they have complete confidence in what management does all the time, right? I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
Exactly. And, you know, the pipeline's not dry. I do think, you know, when it comes to Andrew Shaw versus Teuvo Teravainen, I think you looked at the two of them and you say, okay, we know what we have in Andrew Shaw. You know what he's going to give you at this point in his career. He's going to be a guy that's going to score 15 to 20 goals. He's going to be a versatile guy. He can play defensively. He can play a wing. He can play a center. Now, all those things Teravainen can do, you just don't know about the scoring potential with Teravainen right now, and you don't know where that potential is going to lead. So it's almost like a case of floor versus ceiling, so to speak. It's like you know Andrew Shaw is a known quantity. Teuvo Teravainen is not a known quantity right now, and I think that that's what they're looking at when it comes to prioritizing the two of them.
Makes sense to me, Chris. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Chris, you have yourself a very safe trip to Rio. If you have any problems down there, you call us. We'll get on the first jet. We'll come and rescue you. If you pick up the Zika virus, God forbid, or anything like that, we will get you back to safety, my friend.
I appreciate that. Hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Yes, we are, absolutely. All right.
I feel like Chris is equipped for public calamity.
You
have more confidence in that than I do, I'll say that.
We're sending you down into public calamity. Wow.
Good luck.
I wish I was going, so I'm jealous. Thanks, Chris. You're the man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Chris Hines, Chicago Tribune. Going to Rio.